Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable, as the body coils now to the top of the swing. There's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Weather was so nice. I walk outside this morning, and it wasn't raining. It was pouring, and there was thunder, and I thought, oh, dear. What happened? I hope you got some golf in the last couple of days. No, I haven't looked at the weather for the rest of the day. Actually, it's supposed to clear up. From what I understand, it's supposed to clear up at least No, then I think it's supposed to rain again later on. Okay, you might have a window. Here's all I'll say. You might have a window between about 8 a.m. and noon today of getting your golf in. So it might be a nine-hole Saturday for you, depending on where you go or how fast you play. But okay, that's all right. We can still talk about golf, which is what we do here every Saturday on the Sports Hub Golf Club. So thank you once again for listening. My name is Hardy, and we will begin this morning with what I would refer to as a good customer service story. I tweeted about this yesterday, but I will give you a slightly more in-depth version of what happened. And yes, it all relates to golf, because all too often, the only customer service stories that get shared are the bad ones. If you go to a restaurant and you have a bad meal, you tell everybody. If you go to a restaurant and have a good meal, you just say, oh, that was so good. And you go home and pass out with a food coma. So we don't share our good stories often enough. So let me share a good one with you. A couple of years ago, I started playing Callaway's. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was talking with the Callaway guys more and more. I was learning about their products. And I had been playing Ping irons for years. And this goes back to when I was living in Albuquerque, and my first set of what I would call real irons that I bought with my own money, not counting the Hogan Apex blades, which I actually traded another guy for. Some guy saw me coming. This was in college, and I had a set of cavity back irons that weren't even like a name brand. I think they were like a Nevada Bob's store brand cavity back iron. And one of my friends in college had a set of Hogan Apex blades. He's like, hey, man, I like your clubs. I'll trade you straight up. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm a player. I can play those Hogan Apex blades. And I traded them. And little did I know, the reason why he was so willing to trade those things is because you have to be a player in order to hit those things. I mean, seriously, the 3-iron on that Hogan Apex blade was like looking at a butter knife at the end of a skinny broomstick. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I struggled with them for years until I finally bought another used set of Ping I2s. Now, hear me out on this. I didn't know any better. Like mid-90s. I was probably drinking a lot. I don't remember. They had graphite shafts. Wonderful club for a retiree living in Santa Fe, which is probably who I bought them from, even though the guy was in Albuquerque at the time. But they were great clubs. Those Ping I2s were great clubs. The graphite shafts did not suit my swing or my style or anything else, but I played with them for years anyway. And I loved the Ping cavity back iron. And then I bought, this was really my first real set of irons that I bought as a grown person. And that was a set of Ping G10s.
that I actually purchased, if memory serves, through my buddy Rob Churchill, who was working as an assistant of some kind over at Blue Hill, and Lou, the director of golf, who is now the director of golf at the Cape Club of Sharon. Oh, my God. How things, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I bought those Ping G10s through him, and I still have them. Great clubs. Great clubs. But then I started playing the Callaways after I was convinced, A, that I was probably missing out on a little something in terms of technology from playing an iron that was designed in the, you know, middle of the first decade here of the 2000s. And I was just learning more and more about these Callaways. And of course, the biggest reason was I went and hit some of the Callaway irons, the XRs, as a matter of fact. And they were fantastic. And from there, I started putting other Callaway products in my bag. You know, the irons we all tend to hang on to more than and longer than other clubs. You know, you get a irons or a putter that you really like, you hang on to them forever. Drivers, I fall in and out of love with on almost a yearly basis. So for me, it was not a big deal to part with, you know, the Cobra driver that I had immediately preceding the, I think, it was, I don't even know. I don't even keep them. I end up giving them away or I had a TaylorMade. That's what I had. I had a Rocket Balls 2 driver, I think, before I put my first Callaway in the bag, and that was the Callaway XR16. And that club is still one of the favorites I've ever had. So I put that in the bag. And then a couple of years back, I end up getting the Callaway Epic driver with the new jailbreak technology. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that Callaway XR16. If you ever see one, if you ever get a chance to hit one, it's got the matte black finish, which I love. And it's a solid club, feels good, looks good at setup. The only problem was when I hit this Epic, I got an extra 8 to 10 yards, not only on the simulator, but actually playing golf, going and playing the courses that you normally play. And in, you know, on the rare occasions where I would hit a consistent shot on the same hole from week to week, I would see more distance. I'm like, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that XR16. I'm just getting more distance out of this Callaway Epic. Great. Fast forward to the beginning of this season. I take it out for the first time in April, I guess I played. And after a hole or two and a couple of quote-unquote warm-up swings, I notice a rattle. I notice a rattle in the head of my Callaway Epic driver. Like, when's the last time I ever had a rattle in a club head? And I thought it was the old school problem of some of the epoxy coming loose and the glue separating into little chunks, and you get that rattle. You know, your driver turns into a maraca. Like, what the hell is this? So I mentioned it to a buddy of mine, Steve Schau from Travis Matthew, and Steve said, take it over to that new PGA Tour Superstore. They'll be able to fix it. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I used to know Steve from Golfsmith, and I did all my like club repair and regripping and everything. I always did at the Golfsmith in Watertown, but I didn't have a new go-to like pro shop, right? So I took it into the PGA Tour Superstore, which I was at on its official grand opening. There were hundreds of people there, and I'm walking through. I'm like, man, this place is massive. It's a bit overwhelming. I was lucky to only get out of there with a pair of shoes. Of course, I had to buy something. But I came back and I dropped the driver off. And they called me a couple of days ago to say, all right, Mr. Poole, got your Callaway Epic. What had happened was the titanium plate on the bottom of the driver was cracked. Is it the titanium plate on the bottom? You mean like on the sole of the club? I said, yeah, that was cracked. And it got like little pieces of sand or fertilizer in there, and that's what was causing the rattle. Oh, I'm thinking in my head, how did this happen? Well, I know exactly how it happened. It's two things. Number one, we all have a tendency, and I say we all, many of us have a tendency to sweep the turf when we're taking a practice swing with our driver. Do you do this? Do you like to sweep the just the very tops of that very short grass on the tee box when you're warming up with your driver? I do. We're not supposed to. You are not supposed. This is something that we all do. We're all doing it wrong. If you're one of these guys like me who likes to sweep the turf with your practice swing, with your driver, you are doing it wrong. You're supposed to, we are all supposed to, when we hit our drivers, not touch the ground at all. With these new drivers, you are supposed to tee the ball up high enough to where you not only catch the ball slightly on the upswing of your forward swing after the club bottoms out, just barely getting it on the upward launch angle of attack, but you're not supposed to touch any of the ground. This is not a 7-iron. You don't need to compress it. There's no need to ever have your driver touch the ground. So that's number one. Number two, I have a tendency to drop kick my tee shots with my driver. Yeah, it's ugly. It's so ugly. The driver bottoms out 6 inches behind the ball, and then I do get the ball on the upswing, and it's not horrific. I don't take a divot, but it takes a lot of the clubhead speed off. And the reason why I don't see it as much of a problem is the shots generally end up pretty straight. It's just a matter of losing 10, 15, 20 yards because you're reducing your clubhead speed on those drop kicks. But that is what caused all that sand and gravel to permeate that titanium plate on the bottom of the Epic driver. And that's what caused the rattle. Because I suck. Okay, my fault. It would have been 100% with me, okay with me, had the PGA Superstore called back and said, you know what, we've sent your club to Callaway. They said, obviously, this happened because you suck, and, they can't fix it anyway. What are they going to do, put a new titanium plate in there because you don't know enough not to sweep your driver off the ground with your practice wings or hit drop kick shots, dummy? No. But that's not what they said. What they said was, when they called a few days ago, the PGA Tour Superstore, they said, Mr. Poole, we sent your club back to Callaway. They covered it under the warranty. And what they decided to do was just give you the new Epic Flash driver head. They used your same shaft. I hope that's okay. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah. They just gave you the brand new Epic Flash on top there, and you can come pick it up. Okay. So I drove over there. Now, I can't believe it. I'm getting a new driver out of this. This is great. I show up, and as I'm walking out, my wife, more about her in a moment, she says to me, oh, can you re-grip that one club in my bag? She's got a 55-degree Tom Watson Troon wedge that I bought probably 25 years ago. She loves this club. She won't buy new wedges. She only plays once or twice a year. And the one time we did play here recently, she went back-to-back on holes 7 and 8 with a par and a birdie on a tough par 4. So I don't want to play with her anymore. That's not fun for me. When you go out and play golf with somebody who only plays 9 holes every other year and then goes 1 under over the course of 2 of the hardest holes on the golf course, to me, I don't need that in my life. But she says, can you re-grip that wedge while you're over there? I'm like, oh, my God, why don't you just get a new club? All right, I'll take it in there. I took it with me yesterday. I walked in. I'm like, oh, I need a new grip on this. They said, sure, Tom. And Tom is the guy who's working the club repair desk over at the PGA Tour Superstore. Got a single for you. I said, okay, what do you want on this? All right, I'll take care of it. I literally walk down one aisle, walk back. Tom is standing there, and he goes, here you go. It's all set. I couldn't believe it. It was less than 5 minutes. I walk into the store, and thanks to Callaway, who honored the warranty on a club that I didn't even ask them to, and the PGA Tour Superstore, I was in and out of there in 5 minutes with a new Epic Flash head on the end of the driver and a re-gripped club for my wife. I don't know. It cost me $10. And here's the thing. I don't think my experience is unique. I think this probably happens all the time, every day. How often do you go have a driver repaired? You know, how often do you need just a single club re-gripped? But I'm telling you, this is just what happened in my experience yesterday when I went to pick it up. Those are the two things happened to me. So I would say thank you to both Callaway and the PGA Tour Superstore. But like I said, honestly, I think this is probably what happens there every day. This is not sponsored. This is not I'm not getting paid for this. This is not any kind of like advertising partnership with these guys. I think excellent customer service like that deserves to be recognized. So there you go. And it also put me in the mind to revisit a conversation we had earlier this year with a gentleman by the name of Steve Conley from Callaway. Now, I am going to put my hands on that, and we will listen to that again so we can hear about all the products from Callaway. Now that I got everybody in a new driver and new club mood, we might as well listen to a guy talking about all the new Callaway products. So we will do that as we continue here this morning on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Here we are once again on the Sports Hub Golf Club with, you know, the guy that I can't get him to not come in. Steve Conley from Callaway. Every year he's here for, you know, a couple of different times throughout the course of the season because you've always got new stuff. Steve, we kid because we love. I love to see you, buddy.
It's always great to see you, Hardy.
And you've always got good stuff. So, first of all, welcome back. First time on the show this year.
Absolutely.
I saw you at the Golf Expo where you had some new stuff, so I have an idea of what we're going to talk about today. But you tell me, what gets you excited when you wake up in the morning, you regional Callaway sales guy, it's got to be the new driver once again.
It is, yeah. And that's, you know, the driver is kind of the, you know, the driver is really what, you know, drives the industry. You know, it's certainly the sexiest product.
Yeah.
It's what people, you know, talk about the most. It's the club that people tend to change the most. So, yeah, we're really excited. The new Epic Flash is, you know, it's another game changer for us. You know, in the industry.
Let me ask you just out of curiosity, you guys must have numbers in terms of how often people change their driver as opposed to irons. Putter might be in line with the driver in terms of how often they change wedges. What's the breakdown in terms of how often people tend to roll that club over in their bag?
Yeah, for the avid golfer, it's probably every 2 years.
On a driver.
Actually, the two clubs that are hardest to get out of bag, especially for better players, tend to be fairway woods and wedges. Those are the two that they like to hold on to for a long period of time.
Wedges, that surprises me. I would think, now, from what I understand from talking to good players, because I'm not one of them, they like to swap out their wedges because the grooves have a tendency to wear down. Is that not a thing anymore?
No, it still is. I mean, if you talk to tour players, they'll switch out their wedges two or three times a year for that reason, just to make sure they have, you know, the perfect grooves. But, mm-hmm. you know, for that, even like, once again, for that avid player, when someone finds a sand wedge or a lob wedge that works for them, they tend to leave it in the bag a little bit longer.
It's funny you say the fairway woods, because I'm the same way. I've got an old Callaway that I've had in there. I don't even know what generation it is. You know what hybrids I have. You guys haven't made those for 4 or 5
yep.
years, but I love them. The driver, though, and the irons that I have that are new, those to me make the biggest difference because technology-wise, especially with the jailbreak and the new face technology with the jailbreak, it makes such a tangible difference just in distance and accuracy off the tee. You're kind of dumb to not be upgrading every few years at the least because you're leaving yards in the bag.
No question. Really, in every category, that's the case. You know, even with fairway woods. It's the fairway woods now from, you know, Epic Flash fairway wood compared to even the original Epic 2 years ago. It's a dramatic difference in ball speed. And, you know, we saw that right away, really, on the driver side first with Epic Flash. When we were testing it with tour players this past fall. You know, a few of them still had the Epic in from 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. The rest were playing Rogue. And we were seeing, you know, if you can get a tour player and show them 2 miles per hour of ball speed, they think it's game changing.
Yeah.
You know, and it turned out that, you know, we saw between 2 and 7 miles per hour of ball speed jump.
And what does that equate at that type of speed? What does that mean yardage wise?
It's probably, you know, between 6 and 16 yards. Wow. You know, so, and that's, you're taking a tour player that has their gamer that's dialed in perfectly for them, and to be able to see that kind of distance and much tighter dispersion as well. So that's when we knew we had something special on our hands.
So to me, it kind of started with the XR, which I thought was a great club. You went to the Epic after that. Then you went to the Rogue. You're still with the Epic driver now, with the jailbreak technology on the face. It's got those pillars behind the face, or I should say the jailbreak technology, yes, behind mm-hmm. it. The pillars behind the face that keep the structural integrity of the club intact top to bottom. So you're not losing energy and it's not getting dispersed by, you know, these infinitesimal but tangible changes in the club when you strike the ball. What is different this year? What have you done? Is it still Rogue? Is it still Epic? What is it?
Yeah, Epic Flash.
Epic Flash.
And the way you described jailbreak was correct. You know, really the titanium bars, they really lock in the sole and the crown so that we don't lose any of that energy through the bottom and top of the club, and all that energy is going to the face. And what it really did was the first time that we were able to decouple really the CT and, you know, from increased ball speed at the same CT. You know, so CT characteristic of time is now the way the USGA measures the faces and making sure that they're conforming. And we were able to get at that same CT max level, able to get a lot more ball speed.
Can you write that equation out for me? I'll take a picture of it.
No, that's somebody smarter than me, definitely. Okay. But you know, that's, you know, so really, you and I talked quite a bit about Epic. And that was really, you know, once every 7 to 10 years, there's one of these drivers in the industry that has a huge technological jump. And that's what really Epic was because of jailbreak. But now, actually, just 2 years later, we've done it again with Epic Flash.
And the Flash really refers to the face.
Correct, the Flash face. And it's the first time, actually, the face was designed by AI, artificial intelligence.
So, but you still have to program the computers to use the AI. So what did they tell it? They told it everything that was happening, and the computer spit back some info and say, well, if this is happening, then you need to do this?
Correct. So on a normal driver, you know, obviously it's being designed for, you know, forgiveness and then obviously maximum ball speed. The design, what was the supercomputer was given the instructions of, here is the USGA limit in CT, you know, run tests and find until you have a face that's hotter than, that's the hottest we can make it over the entire face. Mm-hmm. And so a normal driver, when we design it, R&D will go through 4 or 5 iterations of a face, you know, to really kind of maximize that speed. And with this one, it was 15,000.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's, if you see that, you know, nice new Apple computer you have right there, if you ran it on, you know, a high-end brand new computer, it would take you 34 years to be able to do that many iterations.
It's unbelievable. Now, when you talk about changing the face, is it materials? Is it thickness? What is it that's different about this year's face as opposed to last year's?
Yeah, so the Flash face, what it really is it is a change in thickness, but it's the overall design of the face. So if you look at, you know, cut open most drivers, they have a very similar look to them, at least the modern drivers, where you have tends to be a little thicker in the center, maximize speed on those miss hits. This Flash face, the way it was designed by the supercomputer, you'll see it's thick in one spot, thin in another. It's actually not very intuitive. So it's something that even our R&D people wouldn't have come up with.
Hmm.
So that's they found that by making it a little thicker in this spot, it makes this, you know, low heel all of a sudden a lot hotter. So that's really
stuff
what it
you
comes
would never
that.
Think of. That doesn't necessarily follow logic, but the results don't work.
Correct. And that's why it looks very different and performs very different than any other driver face that we've seen.
Longer. Straighter?
More ball speed and significantly straighter downrange.
More forgiving.
Correct.
Okay. Here's something that I don't feel silly asking about because you and I have talked about it before. The sound of the ball coming off the club. I love the way my Epic sounds, the one that I have from 2 years ago. Has the sound changed significantly?
I would say it's maybe slightly louder than the original Epic, but in terms of, it sounds really good. In fact, you know, I've said to you before, you know, we have the largest R&D group in the golf industry, and we have people that are focused on one thing, and it's PhDs focused on sound to make sure that we have that perfect sound, whether it's a driver, a set of irons, a fairway wood, you know, to appeal to the most golfers.
I know, it makes sense, but it's all part of that, like, confidence of hitting the ball and what you like, and that's, you know, that's, you get essentially a couple different types of feedback. You know, you see the ball flight, you feel in your hands, or hopefully don't feel a whole lot, what the ball feels like coming off the club, and you hear it. That's really all we have to work on. So as a consumer, that makes a difference to people.
Absolutely.
Who's carrying the club right now out on tour?
Awesome. We have, you know, obviously Phil has, you know, been our staple for a long time, but we have a huge, actually a really huge group now, you know, across all the tours. In fact, the Epic Flash is the number one played driver across all the worldwide tours.
And there's a lot of people playing it who aren't getting paid or don't even get it for free.
Correct. And that buzz really came from that fall where I think they heard some of our best staffers, you know, Ollie Snyder, Jans, Xander Schauffele, you know, and they were talking about how much ball speed they were picking up with the new Epic Flash. And all of a sudden you start getting the phone calls from people that aren't on your staff that want to come out and get fit and tested.
Very
cool.
That's
a great sign.
That's very cool. Steve Connolly from Callaway. All right, we got to talk about a couple other things. You mentioned, you know, fairway medals and irons. I don't know if there's anything new this year. Like I said, we talked at the Expo months ago, but refresh my memory quickly.
Yeah,
what else is out there?
So
right now?
Rogue and Rogue X are still, you know, a huge part of our iron business, you know, in its second year. It's actually, I believe, based on Golf Data Tech, the number one selling iron in golf right now, based in March. But, you know, we have two new offerings this year, and we've updated. We now have a new 2019 Apex iron. So forged with face cup. So really a forged club that really was a game changer. You know, I've said that like three times already, but, but you know, when we launched,
that's a player's iron. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It really isn't though. It's, we see people playing it up to 18 handicap,
no kidding.
You know, cause we launched it. It was a forged, the last generation, the 2016 Apex, we launched it. And because of the face cup technology and the tungsten weighting, we were able to have a forged club that was both forgiving and fast. And in fact, Golf Digest created a new category in their Golf Digest hot list because of that iron, where now it's a player's distance iron.
Player's distance iron. So it's almost like a cross between a game improvement and a player's iron.
Correct. So that's really for, once again, we've seen that, you know, appeal to a huge, you know, much wider array of audience than we really planned initially, and we're seeing it even more so with this new Apex. And then on the other,
you guys are just tweaking the lofts on those. You're making the pitching wedge at 40 degrees and people think it's longer.
No, it's a little higher than that, but but you know, the key is really, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of people over the years, you know, have kind of jacked up lofts. The key is to make sure that you're launching it at the same, you know, for that same trajectory that you want. So someone's hitting a 7-iron, they want to hit it the 7-iron the same height they always hit a 7-iron.
And that's what it is. You want it to land the same way because, you know, and believe me, I would love to be able to, you know, hit longer shots higher so that they have, you know, a better landing trajectory, but you don't always get that.
Correct. Yeah. So, and then on the other end of the spectrum, we have our new Big Bertha iron as well, which is, if you want the easiest iron to get in the air, the most forgiving iron ever made, it's the new Big Bertha.
I hit one a few years, I think it was 2 years ago. I said, there's no way I'm going to play this thing. Now, I didn't make the switch over, but it wouldn't take a lot of convincing. You talk about an iron that is easy to hit. And if you can set your ego aside, and if you're the type of player that could really be helped by a Big Bertha iron, if you hit one, you're going to be convinced.
No question. And that's, you know, one thing we've added this year is it's a little thinner top line, and we've added the urethane microspheres that we introduced in the Rogue. So it actually has that really good sound and feel as well. And it's a little cleaner looking than the last version. So
speaking of feel, we got to talk about, before you go, the Callaway golf balls, which I converted to, and they are fantastic. You have a couple of different versions now at the high end of the Callaway golf ball now.
Correct. So obviously we've had great success with the Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X. That's really what all, you know, the Chrome Soft X is what most of our tour players are playing. You know, and it's, we've continued to grow dramatically in that category. And one of the things we've done is we actually make every Chrome Soft, every Chrome Soft X, and the new ball that I'll mention in a second, every single ball is made in Chicopee, Massachusetts. So we've invested another $35 million into that plant. You know, at one time, I think we were less than 100 employees there. We're now over 400. So continuing to grow that business, and it's something we really believe in. So
love it. Love it. Keep the money at home. I love that. And what's the new ball?
So this is the ERC, which is named after our founder, Ely Reeves Callaway. So you know it must be something special if we're putting his name on it. And really the goal, you know, that was given to the golf ball R&D group was, how do we make a distance ball feel like a tour ball? So give people that are looking for increased ball speed more distance from, you know, from their entire bag, and but give you feel around the greens. And that's really what the ERC is. So it's a hybrid cover, but it's designed, it's going to be higher launch, a little lower spin. So most golfers will find they'll hit this farther than any distance ball they've tried, but around the greens, it gives you that soft feel and spin.
Do the alignment aids, the one I'm looking at right now, have the alignment aids already printed on them? Do they come like this?
Correct. So that's, we introduced the triple track technology with this ERC golf ball. Now, you may have seen, Phil actually has it on his Chrome Soft X, which has gotten a lot of buzz, but the triple track, we feel like it's, you know, a half golfers generally will put a line on their golf ball, or at least use the side stamp to line up putts. So this is actually called the vernier effect. So if you look, it's obviously two blue and surrounded by a thicker red in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's really designed to focus your eyes. It's actually exactly what you'd see if you're landing on an aircraft carrier with a plane. So it's either two blue and red in the middle, or two green and a red in the middle, and it allows you to focus your eyes. So if you're landing on an aircraft carrier at night, that's what it looks like.
I think it might look a little bit different, and plus, I don't hear any Kenny Loggins playing in the background. So we need a couple more elements to really bring this home. I love the look at this, though, and I've never used like the alignment aid for putting, but the fact that you got the three lines here, it does. It's more visually appealing than just that one black line you would draw yourself with a Sharpie and try and get it straight. You know these are straight because they're coming out of the factory like this, and the three lines do make a difference. Always something with you guys.
And if someone doesn't want to use the triple track alignment, you know, you can roll it over.
Roll it over.
And, you know, have that. So what you do see with a lot of the tour players is they use their alignment for short putts, 15 feet and in, but they will turn it over when they're trying to hit a 40, 50 footer because they're just focused on
It's more about speed, and they're not even that as concerned with the line. Okay. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for coming in. I'm sure we'll
Thanks for having
me. Yeah, I will see you again, midway through the summer when you guys come up with a bunch of more new toys. But always happy to see you.
R&D is always working, so we'll have something. Thanks, Hardy.
They never close, do they?
Definitely not.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Ah, the sounds of Buffalo Town. Hey, that we're back. Hardy here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. A couple of tournaments going on this weekend. The Rocket Mortgage Classic is being contested at the Detroit Golf Club. Now, I have never played the Detroit Golf Club, and I grew up just outside of Detroit. There are two, like, old-school country clubs in Detroit. There is the Country Club of Detroit. That was the one that I played once. My friend Mike Jones, I believe, was either a caddy there. Maybe he was caddy master. By the time I got a chance to play it, that probably makes more sense. I don't think just as a caddy he would have been able to invite me out to play the Country Club of Detroit with him. That's in Grosse Pointe Farms. Grosse Pointe Blank, right? Seen Grosse Pointe Blank, nice area of Detroit, and I went down there and played that. But I'd never played the course where the Rocket Mortgage Classic is being played, and that is the Detroit Golf Club. Now, It was described once years ago in a Detroit Free Press article. The Detroit Golf Club was the new money club, and the Country Club of Detroit was the old money club. I didn't even understand what that meant because, you know, our family never belonged to a country club. I think my dad maybe was a member at Indian Wood, like way back in the day before he was married, you know, before kids. We're talking about like in the 60s. You know, and it probably cost $15 to join. But other than that, no. None of my friends' families belonged to country clubs. We worked at them. You know, I caddied at the Birmingham Country Club, and I ended up working at a nine-hole course called the Heathers Club. It was a private club. And my buddy Mike worked at the Bloomfield Hills Country Club, which is still to this day maybe the most finely manicured golf course I had ever been on. Good grief. The Bloomfield Hills Country Club. But not a place they'd necessarily want to join anyway back in the day. There's very, very restrictive. But, you know, you're a kid. I didn't understand, like, all that stuff. But it was described to me back in the day as the Detroit Golf Club. Oh, that's the new money course. I'm like, oh, what is new money, old money? And this article went on to describe, like, oh, the Country Club of Detroit. That's, you know, the old school dining room with, you know, the older members and soup stains on their ties, and you'll see the older cars in the parking lot. They're not trying to impress anybody, but the Detroit Golf Club, that's a bit more of a new money course.
So I went ahead and looked it up just here this morning. The Country Club of Detroit, the Old Money Club. It's such a douchey thing to say. Founded in 1897. Wow. All right. And by the way, Michigan, like a lot of states, has absolute gems that people don't think about. And you know about Oakland Hills, probably, which is also just outside of Detroit. But there are some of the best golf courses in the country you will find in unexpected places. Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Pacific Northwest, of course. We know about Bandon Dunes and all the wonderful courses up there. But you can find really outstanding golf courses. Nebraska has a couple of the finest golf courses in the world. And Michigan is no exception. Anyway, and they've been playing a long time, obviously. So the Country Club of Detroit, the Old Money Club, founded in 1897. I didn't know much about the Detroit Golf Club because I had never played there. I don't even remember if I ever drove past it. I'm not even sure where it is. The Detroit Golf Club, the quote-unquote New Money Club, founded in 1899. So because it was installed 2 years after the Country Club of Detroit, it became known as the New Money Club. There's just such a stigma attached with like country clubs these days that is, I think, mostly undeserved. Now, there are still old school country clubs around, and you can certainly find them. But what I have learned this year is that, you know, country club membership is mostly about access. And I don't mean access to the titans of industry. I don't mean access to the upper echelons of society. I mean access to the actual course where you play golf. You know, you're going to spend more in terms of your initiation or your dues or whatever it is. But with that, you are most likely guaranteed the ability to go play golf. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and the golf courses that I still love and still play on and think are among the best in this state or region or even the world, public golf courses, it's tough to get tee times. And especially if, you know, you're like me, you've got young kids, you're, you know, working 6-7 days a week. Yeah, it might only be for an hour at a time like it is here this morning. But, you know, when you get a chance to play, it might happen all of a sudden. Oh, my wife took the kids out for a couple hours. Oh, I can run out and play nine. Well, good luck. You know, good luck finding a spot where you can actually jump out and play. So that's what I think the private club membership has turned into. It's the ability to go play. So, you know, I think that's what people end up paying for. At least that's what I've kind of finally figured out after all these years of playing golf and trying to get out when I can and not fighting the crowds. And that's mostly what it is. There's one more tournament that I wanted to mention. And this is happening at the U.S. Senior Open at the Warren Golf Course at Notre Dame, but not because of the actual scoring or anything else that's going on. There is a story yesterday, and I just tweeted out a link to it, so you'll be able to look at it on my Twitter, at Hardy_SXM. Not even so much the story, but just the video. It is fantastic. Darren Clark, who is a golfer's golfer. I remember years ago, my buddy Steve and I were at the Deutsche Bank Championship. And Steve and I were going to go there, and Tiger and Vijay were playing in the final pairing that day. We're like, we're not going to go watch that mess. We're going to go watch a golfer's golfer. We're going to go watch Darren Clark make his way around the course. And, of course, we couldn't. We couldn't stay away from the Tiger-Vijay duel that didn't end up being much of a duel, as Tiger eagled both the par fives on the front and erased a two-stroke deficit and went on to win the tournament. We got a chance to see Tiger Woods play and win a tournament. I mean, that's what they, what are we doing? Oh, who are we kidding? That's what we're going to go watch. But Darren Clark is a likable guy. Yesterday, he ended up being penalized, not for something that he did, but it was something his caddy did. All right? So he's one under at the turn. He tees off on 10. His shot goes left into the high grass. His caddy is looking at the line to the hole, and he sees a bird feeder, like on a pole. So he says, oh, I'm going to go remove that bird feeder. That's a movable obstruction, you know, ropes or, a chair or something, right? I can move that. Apparently, the bird feeders at the Notre Dame course are immovable obstructions. So Darren Clark's caddy was in violation of Rule 16.1. Immovable obstructions only allow for relief when they interfere with the player's stance or swing, not their intended line of play. Which altogether isn't all that funny or interesting until you see the video. And this guy named Doug Schweimer tweeted out a video of, it's just a video of him like videotaping his TV set. There's probably better versions of it out there, but if you want to see just this one, I think it's funnier. It's kind of, God, I don't know. I'm watching it again right now. Darren Clark standing there talking to the rules official. The caddy walks off in the background. It looks like he's about 10, 15 feet behind him. And he starts rocking back and forth on this bird feeder, trying to uproot this thing. And the rules official looks over at him like, what the hell are you doing? 2-stroke penalty. Clark ends up shooting 3 over on the day, which, you know, most of us would be thrilled with. Problem is, Steve Stricker and Dave Toms both shot 8 under 62s. And even Tom Watson shot 69, shot his age. Scoring average was 71.5. And Clark has pretty much played himself out of the tournament with no help from his caddy there, who tried to move a bird feeder that he wasn't supposed to move. All right, we'll step aside one final time, come back, and wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. And I've Ryan Johnston, no doubt, lurking about. We'll talk with him coming up next.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. It is not Ryan Johnston. It is Matt McCarthy who will be taking over here this morning.
It's that time of year, Hardy. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. So, did you have some fill-in for me this week with Zolak and Bertrand?
I did, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday there was a change. Yeah, it was a busy week.
How'd that go?
It went fine. I mean, you know how Zoe is, you know? Yeah. Just did a lot of Todd talk, people named Todd. That was Wednesday's show.
You know what? I make it a point not to listen when I have time off because, you know, take your time off,
yeah.
You know? Really, like, unplug, unwind. Not do it. I happened to catch a little bit of the Todd talk, and I almost called in. And at some point, it will have to come up because I not only know several Todds, as we all do, but I have a cousin Todd, and it happens to be the son of my cousin Gene Poole, which always gets a laugh when I bring up my cousin Gene Poole.
Now, is that by marriage, is that name, or was that actually given to her?
No, it is a gentleman. His name is
Eugene. Okay.
Eugene Carson Poole.
Like Mean Gene Okerlund, that kind of Gene.
Yes, and he hated the name Eugene, and he went by Carson for most of his life. But I guess in his early years when he went into the Army, they said, no, you know, no one's going to refer to you by your middle name around here, son. And he shortened it to Gene, and he became Gene Poole.
How about that? Well, if we're going to do name talk, that was my grandfather's name. He hated Eugene. He went by Gene. It's the same thing.
See,
we could do 3 hours of name talk, except that's not what we're going to do today at all.
I hope you're going to do some baseball and London talk because I am most excited to see the mascot race.
Yeah, how about this?
Did you see the prelim of the mascot race in London?
I did. Okay, so what they had, Churchill? That makes sense.
So they have the big heads on these, and I identified,
it's like the president's race in Washington.
Right. I identified only 2 of them, and I was very proud of myself for identifying Henry VIII, who, by the way, jumped the gun in the prelims, and Winston Churchill, who came in last. The other two, do you know who the other two are in the mascot race?
Did I hear it was Freddie Mercury?
Yes.
Okay, so Freddie Mercury. Makes sense. You got to have, you know, somebody from, you know, from the music world. I get that. And the Loch Ness Monster?
It's a dragon. All they did was they got a dragon costume, and they put a little Scottish hat on its head, and they're calling it the Loch Ness Monster.
Now, maybe this is just me being an ignorant American, Hardy, which, of course, I am. Does anybody associate London or England with the Loch Ness? That's Scotland. What are we doing? What are we doing? Of all the figures that you could have picked from England, from London, you picked the Loch Ness Monster from Scotland.
Well, like I said, they probably had easy access to a dragon mascot costume. And they said, how are we going to make this cost effective? Okay, we're going to call that the Loch Ness Monster, put a hat on its head, and there we go. It's done.
Yeah, we'll do some baseball today. I heard they had to make an announcement that if you catch a foul ball, you can take it home with you. So clearly the folks in London are very, very into the sport. I'm sure this will grow baseball by leaps and bounds in Europe.
They're going to be thrilled.
I'm sure they will be. So we'll do that. But we're going to open up with the Celtics. A lot of stuff going on this week. NBA rumors have got Sean Silver alongside. So we got a bouncy ball expert in the room. So we should be in good shape.
Excellent. Good show. Okay, boys. Well, you enjoy that. And we'll return next week for another edition of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Thank you to my guest, Steve Conley from Callaway. And as we just decided, it's going to be a rollicking good time with Matt McCarthy and Sean Silver. Oh, by the way, thank you to Tom Tucker Silver, producer extraordinaire, for handling all the nuts and bolts and making this thing go this morning. Thanks, Tucker. We'll do it again next weekend right here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.